It's Thursday, July 12th, 2018. You're listening to Last Time on Video Games, a podcast about retro video games and sometimes some other things. This is episode 228, My Jedi Academia. Runtime for this episode is 1 hour and 8 minutes.
Podcast that is always in aggressive negotiations. My name is Jeremy.
I prefer to negotiate with aggressive use of force sneeze. I'm Tyler.
I don't negotiate, and I'm always aggressive. My name is Zach.
I aggressively negotiate with AR holograms.
Huh?
My name is Kevin.
I missed it. I should have brought out a Big O joke. That would have been a deep cut.
I was thinking about Big O today, which is not a thing that frequently happens. Although I often think of that theme song.
I don't remember it at all.
Do they just big say Big O a lot? Big O, Big O, Big O.
So it's an advertisement for Big O tires is what I'm hearing.
Yes, via giant robots. Just imagine a giant robot made out of tires and then remove all the tires.
But imagine it was done by people who had spent all their lives animating Batman the Animated Series, so it looks like that.
And also tomatoes?
Interesting.
Tomatoes are the twist.
Yeah, it's an interesting show. I don't know if it holds up very well.
Speaking of anime that Adult Swim bought a second season of for reasons no one understands, do you have any interest in Fooly Cooly Progressive?
I heard that it was happening, and I was wondering why. Who's the audience for that?
YouTube keeps advertising it to me, and I'm like, I don't care.
No, don't get me wrong. Fooly Cooly is a great show. Doesn't hold up particularly well, but it was very influential in its time. Why the hell does it need a sequel?
Because Adult Swim was like, eh, we want to buy another anime. We could buy another season of Outlaw Star. No one who worked on that still exists. Also, we do have Cowboy Bebop. It's right here. So I guess Fooly Cooly it is.
Do they actually still own the rights to Cowboy Bebop?
They don't own the rights to them. They still air it. They still have air rights.
Okay. Well, that's what I meant, I guess. Rights to show it on Adult Swim.
Yeah, a lot of times they do it on... time change weeks. I can't think like daylight savings time, and they'll just do a Cowboy Bebop marathon instead of bothering to schedule around that.
Gotcha.
I don't watch TV on TV anymore, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah,
me neither.
Again, just yesterday, I was like, I wonder what's on Toonami these days. And so I just like did a Google search for it, and the only thing I could find was a wiki entry that just had all the Toonami lineups for the last 3 years listed. But it was one of those terrible wiki pages that only loads a little bit at a time. So I got like the last 2 years of Toonami lineups as I was scrolling through.
Wow.
I feel like they have a website.
They do, but it does not have the current lineup. It's just like stream some shows now. I'm like, that sounds cool. It does not tell me what is airing right now.
Yeah, I get all of my viewing of pretty much anything through YouTube, Crunchyroll, or the Funimation website.
I don't watch things anymore. That takes too much time. I don't have that.
I do YouTube, Netflix, Crunchyroll. I just bought Venture Brothers. I'm going to end up buying all six seasons, but I'm like buying them as I'm watching them.
Yeah, I think I got through season three, and I should really finish that. They were just so long. The hiatuses, all of them.
They are so long. New Adventure Brothers soonish, sometime this year, I'm pretty sure.
I think it was either the end of this year or it's end of next year. It has a release date, but it's a ways away.
All right. So speaking of a ways away, Kevin, what have you been playing? Because you live way off in the boonies where there are
also,
only
video. Also, it's been a while
games.
Since you've been on the show. Hi, Kevin.
Yes, it has.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
It's been a long time since any of us were on the show.
That's not the point. Via the magic of 3 years from now, no one will know that.
Oh, is that when this episode's going to come out?
Yes. That's my bad. Anyway, Kevin, hi.
Yep. Hi. So yeah, I played through a game called Tacoma.
Oh, that's the truck game.
No.
No?
This is a walking simulator, essentially. That's actually what they listed on under Steam. It's like a story.
For the record, I am thinking of the right game. I just, for some reason, thought you started in a truck.
Like it's in space.
For some strange reason, there's an awful lot of advertisements for Toyota, though.
I got what you did there.
Yep.
I'm saving it for later.
So, Tacoma is a space station where something happened, some accident happened, and you are sent to retrieve the AI core on the space station. But in order to do that, you need to reconstruct some of the data that you can find in various rooms, essentially. Like, you're reconstructing what happened before the event happened.
This sounds a lot like Dead Space.
I was thinking this
or
sounds
Alien
a lot like
Isolation.
Hate an Analog Story. Or Analog a Hate Story? I can't remember.
Mine
yeah, except
fun.
Except
you...
not a visual novel.
Yeah, so you're watching AR holograms go throughout the last couple of days before very quickly you find out there was a meteor storm. What's really interesting is that you have a recording of the entire room, but not everyone is always together in the same spot. So sometimes you have to go back through the recording and you can follow. I identified everyone by their colors because each AR hologram, there's the blue one, the orange one, the red one. So I'm I'm going to follow blue around and get their whole story.
Well,
and
they got all the clues. So.
Yep.
What about purple guy, though? He seems shady.
Purple was a chick. She was the station administrator. Blue was also a chick. She was the medical officer. Green was a dude who was the botanist. Orange was the mechanical engineer. She was a chick. And then the computer science engineer was red. She was also a chick. And then there was also yellow, who was...
pretty mellow.
No, he was some kind of administrator. He wasn't the leader of the whole station, but he was I don't remember his exact title, but he was
a bureaucrat of some sort.
Yeah. So that took 2 hours. It was actually a pretty good story. It was kind of interesting. It was it was, I don't know, $10, $7, something like that.
So do you enjoy games like that?
Occasionally.
Okay. I was going to say, I usually do. I was going to ask if you played Firewatch yet.
I haven't. I've seen stuff about Firewatch, which makes me kind of want to play through it.
It's pretty good. I really enjoyed it.
What's the point of playing a game when you don't get to blow anything up?
Stuff blows up.
Yeah, you get to start a fire. Kind of. I named mine the Flapjack Fire.
But that's not the same thing as blowing something up.
No,
sometimes
it's
you
not.
Want to experience the explosion from different perspectives, Zach. Sometimes you want to be a black person who's blowing stuff up. Sometimes you want to be a femshep who's blowing stuff up. Anything else, Kevin? I assume so, because you haven't been here in a long time.
Yeah, I also started playing Sword Art Online Fatal Bullet, which is their Gungale Online RPG.
I've never heard a single good thing about Sword Art Online, but the fact that they just made the sequel, What If It Was Guns, is brilliant, and I will never not find that brilliant.
It's is that on the PC?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be doing something right for them to have made a game about the sequel of the show's
They
eternal...
also made a second show.
Yeah, there's actually...
just the gun...
Yeah, it's just Gun Art Online. Again.
Well,
it's like Gungale Online Revival or something like that.
Is that not the second season?
No.
This is airing currently. It's like a revival of... it's following someone else's character in Gungale Online.
Wow. Neat.
The beginning of the second season did start in Gungale Online, but that wasn't the whole thing.
They also do hint that they go back into those games occasionally. Like, they jump between Alfheim, Gungale Online. The movie hinted they were doing the AR thing. I've been meaning to read the light novel of Sword Art Online, because I've been finding with a lot of those animes where it's like, I feel like they didn't explain this very well. Oh, well, I read the light novel, and they did explain it. They just didn't take the time in the anime to.
Like the relationship in that series, because they go from 0 to 60 in, no time whatsoever. Well, I mean, it's 6 months, but the viewer never gets to see it.
Yeah.
That's when you need a montage.
Yeah, they don't even give you a montage.
But Rocky's like a training montage, and all of a sudden they're a romantic item?
There are romantic montages, too.
No, yeah, but I want a training montage that leads to a romance.
Look, into it.
Yeah, so Fatal Bullet, you just run around shooting things, although you can choose swords, because it's in Gungale Online, Kirito uses the Phase Saber.
He uses a lightsaber.
Yes.
Okay.
They call it the Phase Saber for copyright purposes. But I didn't get very far in that. I played that a little bit and then was I'm sort of interested in continuing it. Like, it wasn't like it was a horrible game, but it wasn't oh my god, I can't wait to play more of this.
This was reminding me of my secret shame that I never finished the Dot Hack games way back when.
I mean, it sucks that you didn't do it then, but I don't feel like you should do it now.
Yeah, no, that's not happening.
Yeah, I've wanted to go, occasionally I want to go back and it's you know what, I would like to experience the whole Dot Hack story, but that would involve a lot of time that I don't necessarily want to put into the Dot Hack story.
I'm far enough along that GU is one game on PS4. I could just buy it and be caught up. But then I'm like, or you could not do that, Jeremy. And then I move along.
Yeah, so I was actually planning on picking up Bayonetta instead of playing more Fatal Bullet, which I did pick up, and then I got told that I could come on this podcast, so I had the assignment to play and ran out of time.
Because Steam sale.
I don't know if you've listened to the past couple of episodes, But
he hasn't, because they aren't out.
I've listened to all the ones that are out.
Okay, fair enough. I can't remember which ones is around. I've actually been playing Bayonetta.
You did mention that at one point.
Yeah, it's not great. It's better than Devil May Cry, but
it was like $7. So it was like, and have you played Bayonetta 2 yet?
I have not. I am excited. I felt like I needed the plot of Bayonetta to play Bayonetta 2.
I told you didn't.
I was going to say, this maybe isn't accurate. Maybe I didn't need any of that, but...
But that was my idea, was I might not necessarily beat Bayonetta and play Bayonetta 2, but it was $7. So I was like, this is at least worth playing Bayonetta. And if I decide that I don't actually like the gameplay that much, I might just play Bayonetta 2. Although I'll wait for that to go on sale as well. Probably not as deep of a discount, because I'll be waiting for quite a while. But yeah, I have my hands on a lot of hobby pies, so I don't have a ton of time for gaming.
Yeah, like 40K.
40K, Age of Sigmar, I watch anime, I still watch a ton of YouTube videos, I watch cartoons. I'm rereading through the Malazan Book of the Fallen series, but I'm rereading through every single book from both authors. I really like the books, why are you saying I'm sorry?
I read all of Malazan, including the other guy's books. I can't remember what his name is.
Esselmont?
Eric Esselmont, Ian Esselmont.
I think it's Ian Esselmont.
I don't know. I'm not sure that was a time investment well spent. Some of them are really good. That one where Cropper just narrates in between every single chapter, that's amazing. But I don't know. I wasn't a huge fan, and I read all of them.
I liked them, so.
That sounds like a comic book reader.
Yep.
I'm reading through that. I've been reading quite a few light novels, so I'm like, now that I've caught up on all of them, it's as one releases, I've like pre-ordered the next one of all of the series that I'm getting. So randomly I'll get a notification on my phone, oh hey, this book came out. I'm like, sweet, new book to read.
I use Kevin's knowledge to tell me what characters and who characters are in Danmachi, because I don't know who they are.
Oh, and you're playing that mobile game?
Yes.
So
largely because Kevin's playing it.
Yes, I am playing that mobile game as well.
So what else have you been playing, Zach, besides Pick Up Girl in a Dungeon? That's what that game's called, right?
Canonically.
I'm still playing all my mobile games, Danmachi, Dokkan Battle, and Fate Go. Because we haven't, as we've alluded to, been podcasting very much, the three of us primary podcasters have actually played a bunch of games together recently. We got in a few
games. Have we?
We played Overwatch.
We played some fighters.
Yeah, I got to get destroyed by some Vegitos. That was pretty fun.
We played more than we have in the past last month, since usually it's once a month.
Yeah, I got together and played Overwatch with you guys.
That happens on today.
Yep. I was going to say today would be that day, but something Mordor.
Me and Jeremy had a really fun match on fighters where we used Final Kamehameha basically at the same time. So
was this the first one that you played that I missed?
No, this was a different one.
It wasn't the first one we played that you missed, but you were still in the game, but you did miss the match.
I think you had to go like, oh, I had laundry or something.
Yeah, I did have to put away laundry at some point.
Yeah, and so me and Jeremy had this epic battle where I lost Gohan without ever realizing he was gone until like a minute later, and I was really confused. Other than that, I'm playing a lot of League of Legends. We played as a five stack for the first time in a long time. Me, Jason, Kevin.
I played
Cody.
A League of Legends for a minute.
Yeah, it was boss, Jeremy was so involved doesn't count. In a different game, but we had one of the weirdest interactions I've had on League of Legends. I had a bottom laner demand to know why I, as our top laner, did not interrupt the gangplank ultimate. For the record, for those who don't know, that's impossible to do anyway.
So and it has never been possible to do.
I was getting blamed for not doing something that was literally impossible.
Are you sure you were not jungling?
In an area you weren't at, I assume.
No, I was there. He was my lane opponent, but it was something that was literally impossible to do. Because as soon as Gangplank presses R, his ult starts going. Because he would do that behind his turret, so I didn't even know he was starting it in the first place. Because it's not a channel, you can't stop him.
Yeah, you can literally do it in the middle of fights. Essentially, what Gangplank does is he sends up a signal flare to his ship, which is somehow parked close to Summoner's Rift.
It's in orbit.
I guess. They never explain it, but it's parked close to Summoner's Rift, and it launches a cannon barrage at a targeted area. What's weird is he launches a signal flare up at his position, but the cannon barrage can land anywhere on the map. So somehow he signals exactly where on the map he wants it.
His crew is very inaccurate, but very lucky.
It is one of the few true global skills in the game. But that was just weird, because it's like, why aren't you interrupting it? Why do you expect me to be able to do
that? We had multiple people explain to me, I was like, you can't interrupt it. He's like, oh, did they change that? No, you've never been able to interrupt it. No, you've been able to interrupt
it. We'll agree to disagree. This isn't a disagreement. You're wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I feel
you can
like...
You disagree about facts.
Yeah, you can. One of you is wrong, but at some point you needed to provide proof.
Well, you can't... The problem is you can't provide proof to somebody when it keeps happening outside of vision. And, you know, because of just how the match was going.
No, I just meant through the internet, like, patch.
This was midway through the game, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you're... I guess my point is, no one's going to want to take the time to provide that proof, but...
Clearly,
this guy was grasping at straws, because even if you're up against a Shen, who actually, his ult is also global and is interruptible because he channels it, Shen is never stupid enough to start channeling it within range of the enemy top laner.
Unless it's in a truly dire situation and he's just panicking it.
True, but even then, almost no one has... the ability to interrupt it. Not almost no one, but most of the time your top laner doesn't have any ability to interrupt it fast enough because it's not that long of a channel. And unless you're literally in a fight with the other dude, you're just going to back up slightly and then go teleport to whatever ally you're trying to save.
That was just weird. Playing with five people was fun because it wasn't something I've gotten to do in a long time because people's schedules are all over the place, so not everybody's online at the same time. But because of Steam sale, I actually picked up another game called Frostpunk. And this is actually kind of a funny side story as how I came across this one, too. Is I will generally turn on YouTube and have, like, music stuff going on my other TV because I can.
Yep.
And it cycled through, like, a playlist, and it ended up on a guy's song that he did for this Frostpunk game. And so I'm like, that looks weird. I'm going to go check that out. And so I did, and I've been playing it. It's a city-building game that takes place in, like, a city-building like SimCity.
Yeah, this is not what I expected it to be based on the name.
It takes place in basically a frozen wasteland apocalypse. So you have your one generator that is providing heat to the area.
So it is kind of a genre as well.
And so, like, you're trying to keep your people alive. You're making laws to do that. You're gathering wood, steel, and coal. Coal to keep the generator on, wood and steel for building buildings and stuff. Like, you have to build new shelters for people, treat sickness, make laws to determine, you know, how to treat sickness, how to deal with dead bodies, whether or not children should be working.
My question is, who died and made you mayor?
I don't know.
Everyone died.
I find it kind of interesting and fun because it is a different way of doing a city building because you can legitimately lose because the weather will change. Like, it's usually sitting at like negative 20 degrees Celsius and it will drop down to like negative 40. And if your shelters aren't good enough, people will start to freeze and it can drop down to like negative, I think it can go down to like negative 60 and stuff like that. But the main way to lose is either to be overthrown because people get too pissed off at you, or to have the generator blow up by having it overcharged for too long in a row. And so you're trying to deal with food and people, and, you know, people get sick, and then if you're being, you know, kind of risky, having their limbs amputated to save their lives. And
this actually sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it popped up on my discovery queue, so when I saw Zach was playing, I was like, how is this game? Because it popped up on my discovery queue, I put it on my wish list, but I haven't bought it, even though it's on sale.
And so this sounds like maybe not quite my thing, but I'm really glad it exists.
I'm enjoying it, although I do feel like if you know what you're doing, you could make it kind of a trivial thing, because you actually know how to, you know, go about, you know, I researched this, and this, and it's fine. But other than that, like, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot. They have, like, a little bit of a steampunk thing going on, too, because, like, I have an automaton that runs 24-7 in the working areas. So I put it on my coal mine because I realized, hey, I should stick that on the coal mine instead of the steel mine because that way I constantly have coal coming in to power the generator. Because people don't always work 24-7. You can force them to go work for 24 hours straight.
And then they die.
They don't die, but they do get pissed off at you.
That makes sense.
Also reasonable.
Just need more dancing bears and beer.
The problem is the only bears are probably polar and hops. I don't know where to research that, but my hothouse I don't think has hops in it.
Probably not.
Before you move on, speaking of mayors and overthrowing them and how that's not how that works. Tangent. So you know Street Fighter V has DLC, right?
Yep.
They've added Cody from Final Fight.
Okay.
His story is that Hagar has retired and passed on the mayorship to Cody.
Why?
That, huh?
He should have given it to Guy, at least.
Isn't Cody in the Street Fighter universe a convicted criminal?
He's an ex-con.
Okay.
He is legitimately out. I don't know if he cleared his name or not, but he is out.
I'm pretty sure you can't hold office if you're an ex-convict.
That's clearly not how that works in the Street Fighter.
I guess
also,
not.
You cannot pass on your mayorship. Also, they are mayor of Crime City, so.
Okay, so that actually makes sense that the mayor of Crime City would be an ex-convict.
Because everyone there is an ex-convict.
So now instead of being in pinstripes, he's in a nice mayoral shirt.
I was going to say, also tangentially related, I played a board game recently called Dead of Winter. That's basically that game you're playing, except it's a co-op survival game. Except, twist, one of you may actually be a traitor. I can't remember if I talked about this on the podcast yet.
No, but I have heard of it, and it's very fun.
Yeah, it's
so
pretty
good. So it's like Betrayal on House of Haunted Hill, where it's a co-op game until somebody turns on you?
Yeah, no, they're turned on you the entire time.
Oh, okay.
There's like, I think, 11 possible roles you can have, and one of the secret victory conditions. So, like, if the colony survives however many turns, you win. But you super win as an individual player if you also meet the second victory condition.
Okay.
Someone's second victory condition is make sure the colony fails. So they're secretly a traitor. The way the game mechanic works is you have like two skills basically on every character, and there's like 40 characters that you can recruit over the course of the game. And you have to roll over that number. So lower numbers are good. And one of the first two characters I drew was like, I think Scrappy the Super Dog or something, or Sparky the Wonder Dog or something, who has twos in both categories. He ended up getting a horse, a shotgun, and the blueprints to the gas station. So it's a dog riding a horse with a shotgun strapped to his back. Literally saved the entire town by just being awesome the entire time.
You were in our Deadlands campaign where Zach had the shotgun dog. Were you, Kevin?
I was not.
Okay,
the shotgun dog.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Great.
That's one. It's very similar to the game you were playing. Two, shotgun dog actually happened again. Just naturally occurred.
What else have you been playing, Zach?
Like I said, a lot of League of Legends. The most recent Clash thing started, or Versus thing started, which was Garen versus Darius. So got a little bit of games in on that. I'm torn on whether or not I want to pick up one of the skins or even both of them, because they have them in the shop for... There's a bundle that has both of them in it. But you haven't been doing any kind of League of Legends-related stuff. Tyler, what have you been playing?
You know, not actually a whole lot. I think in the time that we have last recorded, I finished Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright.
Who won?
Everyone? There's a huge twist at the end. It kind of came out of nowhere. I kind of like it.
Didn't Layton die?
Yes, but also no, not at all. Turns out, spoilers. Also, I called it, of course Layton wasn't dead, it was just a golden statue of him that someone replaced him with in real time, somehow. They explained that, kind of.
Magic.
No! Specifically anti-magic, but things to make it look like it is magic. There
so
are a lot
illusions,
of
Kevin.
There are
Which
a lot
is
of,
magic.
There are a lot of drugs involved. Yeah, it's sleight of hand magic, not like
so the game takes
magic.
Place in the 70s, okay.
It might very well. Also, Phoenix Wright is so inexplicably a lawyer from New York in this game.
From New York?
I don't know, somewhere in America. I don't know. He's a lawyer from America.
How from America? Okay. Go on. That was not a question for you. That was a question for the universe.
Oh, okay. As in, how is he from America? As opposed to, how American is he?
Yeah, it doesn't even look like he has a gun.
Oh, he's packing. Definitely. Also, he has this random super rural Japanese girl as a sidekick in America.
Well, we like cultural appropriation, so.
Eat your hamburgers, Apollo.
Eat your donut.
Yeah, eat your jelly donut.
Nothing beats a nice jelly donut.
Other than that, I think it's mostly been Enter the Gungeon, and I have not played a huge amount of that. It's a really fun game, though. I highly support it. I kind of wish it had an online co-op, but it doesn't.
I'm really looking forward to the next Overcooked coming out, because it will include online co-op.
Are they doing a sequel to that?
They are. Yeah.
I can only imagine how net lag is going to affect that game, given how frantic it is.
You can now throw ingredients.
Yeah, I've seen gameplay of it.
That sounds both terrible and horrible, which is how everything in that game
you
works.
You can only throw raw ingredients, though. So, like, you can't throw, like, the cooked stuff around.
Okay, because it might drop on the floor, presumably.
I guess, yeah.
Take this steak!
It was really funny watching the gameplay, because at one point they just had, At one point, they had somebody die by being hit with an ingredient, because if you get hit with it, you're knocked back slightly, and he got knocked off the edge, which was glorious.
Also a feature they added, airships. Also a feature they added, airship crashes.
Wow.
Are you aware?
That's a fun game, Overcooked. I really wish the first one had a online co-op.
So do I, which is weird because I bought it for everyone.
Didn't you buy it for everyone before you realized it didn't have online co-op?
I knew it didn't have online co-op, but we could have just set up a
day to do that.
Yeah, well, we could have set up something like that, yeah. I was thinking Hamachi.
Anything else you've been playing, Tyler?
You know, I've been playing a lot of new and interesting board games, but those are not video games. So, no, not really. I've gone back into Smash, kind of, but, like, kind of. I get into this mood where I just want to, like, go, I'm going to play Smash, and then I play, like, 12 rounds of Smash, so I've been limiting myself to one best of three. So,
YouTube seems to think I should be advertised by Nintendo products, so they keep showing me stuff like, here's the new Smash Brothers, and I'm like, I don't care.
I mean, I already told you this story the last time you told me this story, but YouTube exclusively advertises to me anime I already watch on Crunchyroll, comics I have already bought, and Hispanic lawyers. And by Hispanic, I mean ambulance-changing lawyers. I get their Hispanic commercials. And I'm like, no habla español, strong arm.
The only other thing that I've gotten on YouTube is like I get the super conservative political campaigns, and I'm like, why am I getting this? Like, what setting in YouTube got me turned onto this really conservative campaign?
Well, they're hoping to sway your opinion,
Zach. I mean,
you live
in Colorado.
I guess that's true.
A guy literally came in where I work today. I have to beep this because I'm not allowed to say where I work on social media. But he said, this is one of those rich And I was like, I don't know what that means, but I do know you are correct.
No, it's true because my local is a poor The rich ones have, like, sushi and cheeses.
So he's like, you can always tell by the deli selection.
Actually.
How stoned was this guy?
None. He was very sober. Like I said, he was very accurate.
Yeah, so I haven't had time to get around a whole lot. Have you had any more time, Jeremy?
Yes, but I spent it all watching anime.
Oh, yeah, that'll happen sometimes.
I watched 50 episodes of My Hero Academia. It's very good. You should also do that. I also watched 11 episodes of Gundam Build Divers and the new Lupin the Third anime, and those are bad and very bad, respectively.
Was that the
guess which is which.
That bad, huh?
Yeah, it's got a cute ninja girl who has a ninja unicorn Gundam, and that's pretty rad.
Yeah, I'm into that.
But that's the only thing it's got going for it.
So it seems like Gundam is going through very, very big ups and downs the last couple of years.
IBO was popular, so that's good.
What is?
I did hear good things about it.
The first quarter of it's good, and then it starts to go downhill, and then it goes full Zeta Gundam and not in the good way.
It just starts killing everybody?
Spoilers, that's what I've heard. I've actually seen the second half.
What was the name of the new Gundam game that they released?
Breaker 3, is that the waifu one?
No, it might be the waifu one. It's also the one where you, like, collect parts and upgrade, like, a toy Gundam.
Yeah, that's Gundam Breaker. It also has waifus.
Yeah, I've heard it's easily the worst game in the Breaker series, and it's the first one they've localized.
Yay.
Good job, Bandai. You continue to make baffling business decisions.
That sure sounds like a Bandai.
I mean, they could have localized it because of the fact that there are people importing the other games.
Yeah.
And so they localized it, but without realizing that they were localizing the one that was kind of the worst in the series. Why do you call it the waifu one?
Because, like, the only article I saw is Gundam Breaker 3, in English, will have waifu.
Ah, okay.
Those are the things about it. New features. English, waifu.
Okay.
None of them are Lacus Klein, so I can't be bothered.
I think they have Lacus's...
No, they're all OCs. So,
okay, never mind.
I can be bothered from Mir Campbell. She's obviously a second, but what I have been playing is finished Final Fantasy 15 against the advice of everybody and all the holy texts.
Did you actually beat it?
Yeah, I beat it.
Finally?
Yeah, I mean,
Was it worth beating?
Oh, no.
Okay.
That sounds like every Final Fantasy game.
The holy text was correct?
Yes. No, all the advice that said, no, bro, you don't need to beat this. We're correct. Tyler, you look very excited.
Okay, so, hear me out. Final Fantasy 15, but you're all pirates on an airship.
Look, Final Fantasy 15, where you're all boys on a road trip, is fine. The problem is you get to chapter 14, and they stopped making the game, but there are four more chapters of story to go?
No, I just had I really want that game to exist
now.
Look,
it sounds pretty good, I'm not gonna lie. There is already a airship captain who is your frenemy in that game.
Square will find some way to fuck it up, probably with turn-based combat and boring characters.
I mean, they seem to be moving away from turn-based combat, finally.
They have not done a turn... Final Fantasy X-2 was the last turn-based combat Final Fantasy.
Have you actually played 13?
Yes. I mean, 12 and 13 both have the, set up your actions and weight mechanic, right?
It was pseudo turn-based. I would call it turn-based based on how I remember it.
15 is only turn-based in that if you stop doing anything, the game will freeze and let you, like, look to do something.
Like, figure out what you're doing.
Yeah.
But...
So it's kind of got the hidden turn-based thing going on like KOTOR did.
I mean,
not
yeah,
to the same extent.
Yeah,
but...
sort of. It's a lot more like a Devil May Cry or a Bayonetta than those, but yes, to a degree.
To jump on your Pirates bandwagon, I'm excited about Skull and Bones, which is Ubisoft going, so we heard that everyone's favorite part of Black Flag was being a pirate, so we're just going to make that a game.
Oh, yeah, the only good Assassin's Creed game, and the only good part about that game was being a pirate.
I mean, there was also collecting sea shanties. That was very good. That is pirate adjacent, to be fair.
Yeah, those sea shanties are amazing.
Was very good.
And to be fair, I did like the assassinating people part. It could have just used less plot in between the assassinating and pirate ship battles.
I was going to say that's the problem with the end of Final Fantasy XV, but it's not that it needs less plot. It's that it needs, like, the plot to be connected a bit better, and for there to be some gameplay between that plot. It also didn't help that I liked that game so much. I was level 68 when I finished playing it before. I used a guide for the last half because I was like, I heard this isn't very good, so I want to sprint through it. Turns out, you do not need a guide. You just need to walk forward. Also, turns out, recommended level for the final boss, 40.
Oh, well,
wow.
Oops.
So I got to be One Punch Man for a while, just going around like, you're dead, you're dead.
Has the second season of that come out?
No.
It has not yet. Okay. I'm super excited about it.
So I want someone else to watch that for me and tell me if it's any good, because I do not have high expectations for that series.
I don't anymore either. A different animation studio is doing the second season, and that's disappointing to me.
I just feel like the premise had more or less played itself out.
Everything I've heard about the manga is that it's very good.
So. The manga is fantastic, because I've been reading it currently. So later on, it's not... One Punch Man, later on, is almost not about Saitama at all. Like,
it got there in the anime, and like my problem is it turns into just an okay shonen anime without him being like the focal point.
And it's like, why not just watch like Dragon Ball Z or something?
Yeah, and there are better venues for that. Like My Hero Academia.
I was going to say, there are better superhero group-based ones, but...
Yeah, but for me, it's not that he's not the main point, it's that... they just don't focus on him as much, so it's not every episode is Saitama beats this monster in one punch. It's like the other characters interacting with the fact that Saitama exists.
Anyway, this is not anime time, so I would tell you all about the differences between Black Clover and My Hero Academia.
Yeah, I was going to say, if we're just talking about like nerd adjacent things, I can tell you about all the sweet board games I've been playing.
I heard Black Clover just dropped off the face of the earth, and I couldn't even get through the first episode.
The manga is actually really good.
So let me tell you about Black Clover. I actually really liked the first episode of the Black Clover anime. I was like, I could get into this. This is just Naruto if instead of Hokage, they said Wizard King. And that sounds like quite an upgrade. And then I watched the second episode, and it's some filler that is literally worse than the first episode of Dragon Ball Z. Now, I know what you're thinking. Jeremy, that first episode has Raditz and Krillin, and it's great. No, no one saw the first episode of Dragon Ball Z because no one should be subjected to the nothing that happens in that first episode of Dragon Ball Z, but more happens in the second episode of Black Clover. I know you've seen it.
It's on Funimation. The first episode of Dragon Ball Z is actually listed as the first episode on Funimation's website, so they actually have it posted.
So,
and it's bad.
Is it not the first episode where, like, he introduces Gohan
to
everyone?
No, Goku is not in that episode. It's just Gohan lost in the woods.
Goku is at
episode! Okay,
Goku
I've heard tales of this.
Goku does come up a couple of times, but it's like Goku being a bad dad and then picking up Gohan as he's falling off a cliff. Like, right at the end of the episode, but it's mostly just Gohan wandering around in the
Remember
forest.
That time Goku let Goten drive a tractor?
That was funny.
I'm just saying, bad dad
well, and
is
to
like...
be fair, at the time when Goten was driving the tractor, he had been involved in a life or death fight at one point with Majin Buu. This is Gohan without ever having actually done anything.
I mean, to be fair, he was very bad in that life or death fight with Majin Buu.
I didn't say he was good, I said he was involved in it.
So yeah, the Black Clover anime just has horrible pacing problems.
The second episode, the first episode ends on a cliffhanger of the main character getting his powers in a fight about to save the Sasuke character, and nothing happens in the second episode. He, at the end of that episode, he's still there, has gotten his powers.
Yeah.
Why would you release that?
I don't know.
The anime is horrible. But the manga is actually really good because I read it in Shonen Jump.
That's the reason My Hero Academia is good, because a shonen anime is finally like, hey, why don't we just do this in seasons and then like we can just go up to where the manga is and then
break the manga
for a season and let it get ahead again. So the pacing is amazing.
As opposed
and not
to
this
the...
Dragon Ball Z nonsense that I could deal with when I got an episode every day as a kid, but can't anymore.
It feels like I've been on Namek for years.
Black Clover is like on chapter 100 or something like that. So it's definitely not because the anime was going to catch up to the manga in any way. It's horrible pacing.
So anyway, enough of that nerd BS. Time for some new nerd BS, namely Star Wars. None of us saw that Solo movie, right? Did you see it, Tyler? Did you betray us?
You know, I've heard that it was surprisingly not as terrible as I was expecting it to be.
That's what I've heard, too. Okay.
So
I just wanted to make sure you weren't a traitor. Anyway.
I've not seen it.
I have no hopes because they haven't actually made a good one since the
so you're saying Star Wars.
First four,
ain't
five,
no hope.
Six.
Never
that
mind.
Was a good joke, but he was talking over you.
Yeah, that's okay.
The assignment... Star Wars Jedi Academy. Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Academy.
The Last
Zach
of the Outcasts.
Hates playing games in order so we can see the progression of a series from game to game.
No, I just like trolling you.
So I don't even know who Kyle Katarn is. He's a mini Zach had back when we played Star Wars mini.
He's the main character of Dark Forces.
Oh yeah, he is. I forgot that. But
look at that character progression.
AIs that I saw through.
That is true. He was just not Doom Guy.
I think there's like one more game that's technically in between the that Dark Forces and Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy. But
they're probably like a Dark Forces 2. Kyle is cool. We played the game I can't remember the name of ever. Star Wars Jedi Academy, Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy.
We can just call it Jedi Academy and move on.
Okay. Jedi Academy. You play as a cool guy or girl. You can pick. It's revolutionary. You get to pick your character's gender and how cool their lightsaber is.
You also get to pick the race.
Outfit and lightsaber and all that stuff.
You're Jaden, like, regardless
actually,
of who you are.
There's actually a decent level of character customization for a game this old.
Yeah, because you can pick your race. Not all races have female counterparts. Because I played a male Keldor, and there's no female Keldor.
What is a Keldor?
It's a Plo Koon.
The guy with the breathing mask.
Okay, those guys.
I actually really like their race from the lore. They live on a world that has a different atmosphere, so that's why they have the breathing masks. They're actually able to survive in space for a short amount of time, and they have a high propensity for being force sensitive.
Neat. They actually sound like they'd be fun to play in a Star Wars D20 game or something.
That's why he played.
Oh, well,
that.
There you go.
My mechanic was a Keldor.
So the story of Jedi Academy is you're on the plane to Jedi school.
You're also, like, at least a teenager, which is confusing.
Yeah, you're the Sasuke.
Oh, well, yeah, this is Luke's Jedi school. He didn't know any of that train young thing.
Yeah, well, I mean,
he probably knew
it,
but he's
sense.
Like, eh, we need more Jedi,
well,
so.
Knowing more about the expanded universe when this came out, that kind of makes sense. You've got all these people who are force sensitive, and it's like, well, I've only got one person. I can't exactly go crop up a whole bunch of kids.
So this game is clearly not canon now that Disney owns the franchise,
correct.
Right?
Right.
Okay. Because he started a different academy where he tried to kill a kid.
I just imagine the end of Die Hard there, I shot a kid. I just want Luke Skywalker now talking to Bruce Willis on the walkie-talkie. I stabbed a kid!
He didn't actually stab the kid. He was only thinking about stabbing the kid. He stopped himself.
Okay, so I watched Die Hard for the first time ever recently.
Oh, it's very good.
It's a very good movie, anyway.
Anyway, you're on the boat to Jedi school, and you're stuck next to the annoying kid in class who's like, oh, hey, I'm voiced by not Gilbert Gottfried, but some other character actor Jeremy definitely recognized, because he always plays the annoying guy.
No, you're sitting by yourself, and he goes across the ship to you. Like,
yep.
He singles you out.
Well, because apparently you look like the most approachable person on the ship.
You're the only one with a lightsaber.
Well, he didn't notice that until you got up to him. He was like, I can't wait to build my... Oh, you already have a lightsaber. Oops.
Yeah, it's purple because I chose the right color.
Same.
I think I did too.
Yep.
It's the right one.
Well, the other ones are boring. It's like red, blue, green, and yellow. Or
yep.
Purple. It's like purple.
I would have gone black if I could have.
Ultraviolet.
Anyway, and then you get to Luke Skywalker and Kyle Katarn. Kyle is your master, and
oh, well, you forgot about the fact that he got shot down inexplicably by
cultists. I didn't forget, I chose to...
Cultists!
Cultists shoot you down, and you have to go through, like, a tutorial-ish stage. Then you're assigned to be with Kyle Katarn and go through a tutorial stage.
By Luke Skywalker, the Knight of Poor Voice Acting.
Yeah, they don't
teach
you anything.
I guess you should investigate that cult, because we need to know about that cult's activity. Kyle, why don't you help him investigate, Kyle?
Who did I say his name was? It was Bob Berger. And they're, like, on a raft, and Luke's like, I've got a bat, or I got a bad feeling about the Force, or like the Force is dis- or, oh, it's I sense a disturbance in the Force. And Kylo Katarn's like, you always sense a disturbance in the Force.
But to
I
be
love
fair,
how
I
sassy he is.
I did love that too, but I also love he was like, you always sense the disturbance in the Force. But to be fair, so do I.
So anyway, you and the annoying kid are assigned to Kylo Katarn, and he's like, hey, do this tutorial. It's very bad. And by
I'm
very
not gonna,
bad,
I'm going to tell you to do something, but I'm not going to tell you how to do it.
Yeah, if it literally just included the button prompts, I feel like it would have been a halfway decent tutorial. Here's how you use Force push. Here's how you use Force jump.
It would have been a pretty good tutorial if they'd given you the button prompts, but because they don't,
yeah,
you're left kind of scrambling to figure out what exactly you're doing, because they tell you do this thing, but the reason why it's such a bad tutorial is they never tell you how to do the things that they're telling you to do.
Thankfully, I was able to look up the key bindings.
So I think this game suffers in a lot of ways, but here's the biggest one, from being a dual release on Xbox and Windows. Because you have a lot fewer buttons on Xbox, which makes it a lot easier to just press them all and see what does what. But it also limits the number of actions you can assign. Like, we'll get to this later, but switching weapons in this game is super awkward, because it's got to be on a button so that you can do it on a console. Whereas it's clearly designed for a PC shooter, which where you can switch to any weapon at the press of a button.
Well, in this one, you can scroll through them with a mouse wheel.
That's yeah, what but, I always did.
But yeah. You still have to scroll through them, which is still awkward.
You can, on the PC, you can press a button. Every weapon is linked to one of the numbers.
Oh, is it?
Okay. Yeah.
Like a standard PC shooter.
Anyway, there are cultists, so you have to go do Jedi missions to investigate. Also, during the tutorial, Annoying McAnnoying Pants decides to play a fun prank on you by sicking a lightsaber droid to murder you. Good prank.
Great prank.
You figured you could handle yourself. You've got PC above your head.
Well, thankfully, the bot was set on, like, Padawan and not... As Kyle points out, if that had been set to Luke's training regimen, he would have died.
So anyway, you go into this mission select screen, and the mission selection structure is kind of interesting. You get about four or five missions at once, and you can pick which one you want to do, kind of Mega Man style. And then when you do them all, you move on to the next batch of missions.
You do a story mission, and then you get your next batch of missions.
One thing that really annoys me about the mission select screen is that you cannot leave it. You're, like, stuck in the missions. So, like, I completed the level. All right, cool. The game saved. I'm gonna, you know, stop now. Nope. I have to
load into
another mission and then quit. I can't quit from the mission select screen, which really annoyed me. Also, for whatever reason, the Steam version didn't have controller support, which yep. I found weird. Because it was, like, clearly it was made for the Xbox, and I'm using an Xbox controller. I realize it's a 360 controller, but...
It seems really weird that they didn't update it to accept controller mappings at some point in its history.
Yeah.
So, you go through these missions, your different ones, like I said. There's not much variety in mission, unfortunately, or at least it's not very clear. For example, the first mission is you have to go fight some mercenaries. And that's kind of a standard combat level where you run through, you meet Chewbacca, and you're like, oh, you must be Chewbacca. And I really want the subtitles to read, no, you racist, I am just another Wookiee. You're like, oh, and that's the Millennium Falcon. No, there are 1,000 YT-1300 freighters in this universe. They are not all the Millennium Falcon.
But they don't look like that. And to be fair, when you land, Kyle tells you it's the Millennium Falcon.
Before you meet Chewbacca. So it would kind of make sense, hey, here's a Wookiee. We're next to the Millennium Falcon. This is probably Chewbacca.
Unless it's Chewbacca's cousin, Freddy.
That's also not necessarily the first mission. That's just the first one on the list.
Okay, that's the first one I did. But
that,
yes.
Same here, but it at least gives you the option of all five missions, and you can read all of the mission briefings before selecting which one you want to do, which was kind of nice.
And I do like that, but the point I was trying to make, and then I derailed myself, is that the second mission on the list is a negotiation mission, where you have to negotiate with some Jawas to... get a droid. And by
to practice your diplomacy.
Murder 1,000 sand people like you are Anakin Skywalker in Attack of the Clones.
Well, they're like a fungus. You gotta keep those numbers down or else they'll take over.
Yeah, they're actually goblins. Goblins are notably a fungus.
I don't remember when it exactly comes up, but there are a couple of the other ones. Like, there's a level where you're fighting on a train. So you're jumping between train cars and stuff. And it's quite fun. I liked it.
Yeah, so I actually really like that one.
But it is still another kind of basic combat level. A lot of them are combat levels, and I'll be entirely honest, some of the levels are really confusing to navigate.
Well, some of them have really weird cold starts. There's like one where you're like, just start by hanging off of a pipe over a ravine.
I think that's the one where you're running around away from a Rancor for the entire level.
Yep, there was definitely a Rancor in that one. I'm like,
You're trying Kyle's to save, like rebel agents or something like that, and there's a, from a hut, and there's a, you're spending the entire time running away from a Rancor.
Because all huts have symbiotic relationships with Rancors. Clearly.
Obviously.
I do like the jibe that Kyle has there. Is like, well, normally I'm the one running around putting myself in danger, but this works too. Bye!
Yeah, I kind of like Kyle in this game.
Yeah,
but
he's great. I
so
love
go
him.
Into the story of your super annoying sidekick, where he was like, he just keeps sending me on errands. It's like, my errands have been super exciting. Like, I've had to fight a bunch of people. I got to kill 1,000 sand
that
people.
That sounds great. He's trying to murder me.
So I'd run. You want to switch the next one? Because it seems like he's trying to get me killed.
Yeah. So I just thought that was funny. That was like, really, all of my missions go bad and none of his do?
Although, to be fair, the first one with the Millennium Falcon, that your mission is not to go murder a bunch of mercenaries. You're there to do something else and mercenaries attack you.
Yeah.
Although, that does... That's a story yeah, thing, but
again,
from a gameplay perspective.
In the second mission, your mission is to go talk to some Jawas. Somehow that means kill all the sand people in that cave.
Well, that's the negotiation. For the droid, they want you to murder all the sand people.
Since Zach brought it up, let's talk about the level design. Because some of them are okay, but they make a lot of bad choices. The one that really bugs me is there are a lot of doors that don't open, but then there are also doors that you need to like find a switch to open or a key or something to open.
There was even one door that it actually did open, just for whatever reason it was lagging. So I like went to it because I was like, well, this is the only door out of the room. And then it didn't do anything. And I was like pushed up against it. So I was like, oh, well, maybe I needed to go do something else. And then it came back and the door opened. I was like, but I didn't
well?
Do anything.
But there's a level later on where it's like an actual story level. And I remember running around trying to figure out where I was supposed to go for like 15, 20 minutes because I killed everybody. I was like, the hell am I supposed to go now? I couldn't find it for such a long time. I ended up having to kind of like double check and look up where I was supposed to go, which that's not good level design. I do enjoy playing this game, but man, are some of the levels unintuitive and annoying to try and figure out.
I had a hard time figuring out what were elevators, because sometimes they were clearly elevators, and other times they just looked like the room, but the room would go down.
And this game has some cool kind of problem-solving stuff with your base force powers. You have a push and a pull that you have to use to physics objects. On the kill all the sand people level, there's a lift you have to pull to yourself to get onto, which is pretty cool. There's a sense power, so you can kind of see where you're supposed to be going.
You can also see enemies through walls.
But unfortunately, that all kind of adds an extra level of not knowing what you're supposed to be doing, because you're like, am I not finding the door? Is there some corner I need to push on?
So I forgot about this. There's some variety in gameplay. There were a couple speeder bike levels. I completely forgot about that. I haven't even talked about the ridiculous weapon system yet.
Yeah, so let's talk about the combat system. Because I unfortunately think that's where this game really falls down. It's kind of divided into two parts. You have a lightsaber, which is in third person. You automatically block, and you can do a couple different attacks, mostly based on where you aim the mouse. So you can like sweep for the legs or go for an overhead blow. It's kind of an interesting system. It's cool that you can like trip people by slicing off their feet. Although most people appropriately die with one lightsaber hit.
True.
I also think the lightsaber's kind of clunky in the way it comes out, though.
It is.
It does feel a little bit clunky at times. I never really had any problems with it, but I can definitely understand what Jeremy's talking about. And accidentally switching between the lightsaber and one of your other guns can definitely be jarring.
Later on, you get some more lightsaber styles, if you guys want to talk about that, because I didn't get that far. It was, like, an interesting idea to me. But
I'd have to double-check, but I do know that at one point or another, you either get to add styles or switch your lightsaber to either two lightsabers or a double-bladed lightsaber. I think you get a style before that happens, so you can have a heavy style, a mid-style, or a fast style, and then you get to switch for your lightsabers.
I assume that changes the way your attack works.
You can just switch between stances.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I assume switching between stances.
It does. Like
yeah.
The heavy
style,
one is
a different strike.
Heavy is a little slower, but it hits a lot harder.
It can also break guard, which is really useful for all those annoying lightsaber battles where you're like waiting for
where everyone is using the same flail and prey strategies.
Yeah,
the ancient flail and prey style of lightsaber duels.
Yeah, and that's really what my problem with is in this game. We talked a lot about Devil May Cry when we did that episode. And I think we ranked it at the right spot, but a thing I meant to bring up when we did Devil May Cry is despite all the camera angle problems, that fighting system works really well, and it's one of the first 3D action games to have a really solid 3D fighting engine where you have to consider what your next move is going to be, and you have different options, and this game really left me wanting something like that. because it really feels like your choices are go up and stab that guy or switch to the guns play. And the guns are kind of interesting in this game. At the start of each mission, you get to choose basically two guns you can take with you.
Two guns and a grenade.
One throwable is what they're called, which are thermal detonators, which are grenades, mines.
Oh, yeah.
Or
trip mines.
What's the third one?
Satchel charges.
Yeah.
Which are remote explosives.
I always took grenades.
Yeah.
Yep. I never used them, but I always took them.
They all have an alternate fire, which is kind of cool, both the throwables and the weapons. Most of the alternate fires, unfortunately, are kind of lame, but it is cool that it's in there.
Disruptor rifles, a scope.
The blaster rifles is automatic fire. That cool feature of a blaster rifle.
The blaster pistol is a charge shot.
The ion gun is like a burst, like not a burst, it like shoots out in a bubble where it lands, so like it's like an AoE attack.
And all of the gunplay is taking place in first person, and this is also a game that came out before grenades were on a dedicated button or something like that. So to throw a grenade, you have to switch to the grenade as a weapon and
then
throw it.
This game did come out 2 years after Halo.
Okay, so they just didn't do that. Well, I'm trying to think, because Half-Life 2 works the same way.
A lot of PC shooters didn't do that, but this is, like I said, a hybrid game, so... And I don't want to harp out too much on it, because not every game that's come out since Halo has been Halo. Most have not been. But the way the enemy AI acts and that it just kind of stands in the middle feels really lame in a post-Halo world. A lot of them just kind of sit there while you shoot them. And a lot of the accuracy on the guns feels off. I think because they want to encourage you to use that lightsaber, which is cool, but it makes the guns feel like very ancillary and like they're just this giant toolkit that you get to pick.
To be fair,
you never use.
That does apply to the entire Star Wars universe.
Yeah,
have
that does explain
really
why
seen...
lightsabers are so damn effective.
And why stormtroopers can never seem to hit anything.
Yeah, but it doesn't make for interesting combat encounters. And in a game that's mostly combat encounters,
I know,
that
being,
is a problem.
I'm being facetious.
I was really annoyed with...
Disruptor rifles basically your sniper rifles. That one's actually really, really accurate, but...
Well, I was
Jeremy's
annoyed with
right.
it because... So I would scope in on somebody's head as they were sitting still, shoot them in the head, the laser shot would hit them in the chest, and they wouldn't die. I'm like, oh, so, like... And then I had to keep shooting them again.
I had that happen all the time.
Like, I would line it right up, I would go, and it would just, like, go right by their cheek, and I'm like, how?!
I never missed. Like, it wouldn't hit their head.
I had a lot of hit detection problems, even with the lightsaber sometimes. It would, like, clearly, there is a lightsaber in you, I win. Why are you still hitting me with a stick?
Huh.
I also thought it was...
That sounds like hashtag just sand people problems.
I thought it was funny. One of the things I find amusing is that the lightsaber interacts with the world. So if you have the lightsaber on and you're up against a wall, it will leave traces of, like, you're cutting into the wall.
The problem I have with that, and this is a very small problem, it'll do that with enemies as well. So you're not actually hurting them, you're just putting a big burn mark in them.
Yep.
Well,
yeah, I was doing that at one point.
That is also kind of just a weird spot, because they mentioned doors earlier on the level design. You have a lightsaber, which is basically a skeleton key from everything we've been presented with in Star Wars. So why do I have to go find the button to open this door? I have a big key right here.
Zach, because the Asian racist characters are on the other side of that door and you don't want to go in. Do we have any final thoughts on this game? I don't think it's a bad game, per se, but I really didn't like it. The level design is kind of all over the place. The voice acting, for me, stops the story from being engaging, and I think it's a little generic, especially when it came out 2 months after KOTOR. And, like I said, the combat system just doesn't work, which is the majority of the game.
We should probably talk about the force powers more, besides the basic ones.
You also get to level up your force powers, which is kind of cool. It does have the problem that one of them is heal, and that's the best. So
well, then there's also
I think the dark side gets drained. If I remember how it works correctly, depending on how many points you, which side you have the more points in, is because this is a Star Wars game. You end up picking light or dark at one point in the far future of the game, and I think depending on which side you have more force points in, and that's where
that determines it.
That's the decision, but I don't remember. It's been a while.
From what I read, it sounded like you got to pick, but
you might get to pick. At the point, like I said, I don't really remember.
During the tutorial level, Kyle tells you you will learn both light and dark side powers. Remember, it's not the power that's evil, it's how you use it. I'm pretty sure the drain power...
I use everything to kill everyone.
Yeah, I'm like...
like, Kyle, why do you keep sending me to murder sand people?
Well, I mean, at least it's not as bad as how KOTOR 2 set it up. It's like, I am a light side Jedi. I'm just going to suck the souls out of everybody around me now. I'm doing it for the right reason. But yeah, like, light side has, like, heal, shield, and
They have Mind Trick. They have one more.
I took it and I don't remember what it is.
Oh no! So they have one that protects you from force powers.
Protection and they have force.
All right. They have like armor, protection from force powers, heal, and then like the mind trick. Whereas Darkseid has the force lightning,
hold,
drain life, force choke, and
they have force rage. So you get like a huge stat buff at like a cost to your health.
So this actually has kind of a similar problem to that I've pointed out in a lot of Star Wars games, is that light side powers always seem really ineffective compared to dark side powers.
Well, it depends on how, like, usually the light side powers, and it's true in this one too, are based around buffing up your capabilities, whereas dark side powers are directly influencing the world around you. Like in KOTOR, a lot of the offensive, like, kill you powers are dark side, but the light side powers, like, I take no damage now.
Because, yeah, heal is actually really useful.
Because you can regenerate all
your HP. Yeah, you can just, as long as you have cleared the room, you can just re-heal all of your HP.
Because you can just wait for your force to recharge and then do it again.
Force Rage sounds interesting in combination with that. So I feel like the game almost wants you to mix between light and dark side powers. Like, I'll take Force Heal and Force Rage so that I can become a barbarian that never gets exhausted after his rage.
Well, it's certainly an interesting way to go about doing it. I just something I haven't... I don't remember going into him very much. I have played this game extensively.
Yeah, the first time I played this game years and years ago, I definitely took Force Rage.
Get that much time to play it, because I kind of had this surprised on me, but...
Yeah, any final thoughts? Like I said, the game just really didn't grab me.
I actively like this game. I find it endearing. I don't think it's great by any stretch, though.
I wouldn't say the game is great. It's got a lot of problems, but it's got a lot of things that I like and enjoy about it. It's a fun Star Wars game, for what that's worth. Like, I definitely think it's better than the other Star Wars games we've played, with the
possible
exception
category
of KOTOR. That's a slightly different scale of the games.
I enjoyed it. I'm not going to immediately go home and uninstall it, so...
I mean, I give it 3 sassy Kyle Katarns out of 5.
I'd probably give it a 3.5, but that's me.
What are you doing to the other half of Kyle Katarns, Zach?
You don't want
to
know.
It depends on which half it is.
Giggity? I guess?
I am in the Ariel is the right half. So speaking of saying terrible things about beloved Disney characters, we have a list at our website, www.lasttimeonvideogames.com, listing all the games we've played from best to worst. At the top is Chrono Trigger, a very Star Wars inspired story. At the bottom is City Connection, a game with no connection to Star Wars. In the middle is Blades of Steel.
Oh, so at 118.5, it's actually Blades of Tecmo Bowl.
No, but Blades of Steel sounds all lightsabery.
That is true.
So the other Star Wars game that's kind of a more mediocre third-person action-adventure is Shadows of the Empire. And I think this game's way better than Shadows of the Empire. Personally, I don't think it's way better than Shadows of the Empire, but...
I do.
It's definitely better than Shadows of the Empire.
Well, I was going to say the story is a lot better, but I would say the story is a lot better because I honestly can't remember what the Shadows of the Empire story is.
You're Dash Rendar Dash Rendar.
Oh, right, you're just 90s Han Solo. Well, yeah, I'd say it's way better.
Regular Han Solo got kidnapped by Boba Fett, so you gotta go find him.
So you're 90s ass Han Solo.
I would still say it's way better.
Okay, so the Star Wars game we have above that is Knights of the Old Republic.
And it's no KOTOR.
Knights of the Old Republic has a way better story. I think a slightly better combat system. It is kind of boring and turn-based, and I don't love the KOTOR combat
system.
It's a
D20 system.
But it works.
It is literally D20. That's what it is.
What are your thoughts, Zach? Because you look like you're going to dissent on KOTOR being better.
KOTOR has a different gameplay style in general, because it's turn-based.
Yeah, it's a different genre, even.
Yeah, because it's this grand, sprawling adventure, whereas Jedi Academy is more of your straight-up action game. I would probably say I do agree. I think KOTOR is a bit better of a game.
I think there's just so much more going on in it.
Yeah, when you get sent to do a, like, investigation mission, you actually have to investigate instead of just...
Well, you can use, like, Mind Trick to,
the
like...
The trial on Manon is actually pretty great.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in KOTOR. There are a lot of memorable moments, and it's fun.
So scrolling down, a game I compared it to during the podcast is Devil May Cry. And I also think Devil May Cry is way better, for all the reasons I found this game lacking. Devil May Cry has a much better combat system. It was much more engaging, and that's a game I actually finished, whereas this is a game that just didn't grab me.
And the voice acting is similarly terrible. I'm sorry, could you give me a rendition of that one line, because I was trying to quote it to Alex the other day.
I should have been the one to fill your dark soul with light!
Thank you for that.
That was not my best, but you put me on the spot.
I just couldn't remember what he actually said, so...
I think I'd have to say, I think Jedi Academy is probably a bit better than Devil May Cry. There's a lot of more... You have a lot more options and fun things that you can do and play around with the combat system.
I disagree strongly.
You have a lot more options. I'm
okay,
arguing
maybe it's
whether
I like actually seeing what I'm fighting on a regular basis than having to use the shotgun street sweeper strategy because I don't know what the fuck is going on.
That's fair.
But all the different force powers are options that it doesn't feel like you have in Devil May Cry. Guns don't feel that different, whereas, while I'm not going to say they're great, the different guns did feel like they had a different purpose for each one of them.
They're also next to useless compared to the lightsaber, though.
I'm not going to deny that, so are Dante's guns compared to his sword.
But his melee weapons are... Well, okay, the fists are interesting. I guess I'm dwindling down my possibilities here, but...
The guns in Devil May Cry play a very important part in that combat system. Like, you need to fire your guns to get the most out of it. I guess you don't need to beat the game. You could probably just beat that game by...
But they're very interchangeable, I think, is the point.
Well, yes, after the shotgun. But at the same time, they're more important to the gameplay. And the enemy design in Devil May Cry is a lot better, I think. The enemies are a lot more interesting to have to fight, instead of just guys who walk out into the center of the room to get lightsabers thrown at them.
I will say I like the premise of Jedi Academy more, but I think Devil May Cry just works a bit better, especially as you get towards the end game where they finally figured out that they were making not a Resident Evil game.
So the closest thing to a 3D action game other than these that we still have in this area of the list is going to be Sin and Punishment, which is really more of a rail shooter than like a 3D action adventure game. But like I said, it's the closest, and it's another game where you have a sword and a gun. Which has been the theme so far.
I like Jedi Academy more. Sin and Punishment has some weird stuff going on, but I like Jedi Academy.
I like Sin and Punishment more. No, that's entirely a taste thing, because I like that crazy anime you get in Sin and Punishment, and I did not particularly like Jedi Academy. So, Tyler,
I also think Jedi Academy is a bit better put together.
So similar to my last opinion, I actually like the flavor of Sin and Punishment more. But I think Jedi Academy just has way more going on, so I would have to give it to Jedi Academy. But that narrows us down quite a bit.
Yeah. So the midpoint between those two games is Kirby 64, The Crystal Shards.
Another game with lightsabers!
Yeah. Another game with guns and swords!
Is there a gun in that, though?
There's bombs. Bombs are guns, right?
Grenades, whatever.
There's a boomerang.
Exploding shuriken.
I think I gotta go Jedi Academy again.
That's surprising no one.
Yeah, surprising no one. Well, I thought it was better than Devil May Cry, so I mean, that's... But the thing is, like, this particular Kirby game, yeah, there are a lot of powers. You can get that lightsaber, but there's also... A lot of the powers are kind of useless.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I am a big Kirby fan. I do not think Crystal Shards is one of the better Kirby games.
And I enjoyed Crystal Shards. Like,
That's the reason it's bizarrely above Kirby's Dream Land 2, is because Zach likes it. Anyway, go
Influence.
On.
To be fair, Dream Land 3...
But, so I think it's better because you got a lot of these useless powers floating around in this game, and at the same time, a lot of the levels just aren't that interesting. I mean, because they're set on this weird 2.5D setup, so while you know where you're going, it's just not interesting to get there.
Funny, I would say exactly the same thing about Jedi Academy up to the 2.5D, at which point I've got to change my mind. That said... I was going to say they're of comparable quality. The thing is, I feel like I care about them about equally, which is to say, not much. My inclination is to lean slightly towards Kirby, but it's very, very slight.
And my inclination is, like, as much as I love Kirby, I actually prefer Jedi Academy just slightly, so...
Alright, so right above Kirby, we have X-Men for Arcade. With the bad voice acting, but the good bad voice acting.
Not just the bad voice acting, the good bad voice acting.
I actually think the combat in Jedi Academy is better than the combat in X-Men Arcade.
I think as a game, I think Jedi Academy is better.
It's certainly more ambitious.
One of the main reasons why X-Men Arcade, I think, is so high on the list is because when we played the game, even though we played the game before we did the list, we... played it as a group, and I think that's what really makes that game good, is playing it with people. If you're playing it alone, it's just kind of boring. Whereas Jedi Academy, you can actually get something out of it, and in just horde mode, killing mindless and numerous carbon copies of the same
game. Multiplayer goes a long way on this podcast. We've proven that. I mean, all
the
top games on the list.
That's because I place a really, really, really high premium on multiplayer.
And like that said, I would say that I had fun with X-Men Arcade, and I didn't have much fun with Jedi Academy. Like I said, I think this is not a bad game. It's just a game I really don't like.
I had a lot of fun with Jedi Academy, so...
But like my instinct is to go with X-Men. What do you say, Tyler?
I'm actually going to go with Jedi Academy.
All right, so the final question, is Jedi Academy better or worse than Castlevania Circle of the Moon?
I'm unsure how to even compare these.
This
games,
was the game. This was the Game Boy one, right?
Yeah, the most recent one we played.
I did not like that game.
I think
that makes my call. Yeah,
I think this
easy.
Means we're arguing towards Tyler, and I would say I think Castlevania Circle of the Moon's gameplay works better together. The combat isn't great in that game, but I do enjoy it more than Jedi Academy's, and it works really well with the exploration and the leveling up in a way that I don't really think the gameplay comes together. In Jedi Academy.
Rebuttal, though, a lot of the powers you gather in Circle of the Moon do nothing to affect the combat.
That's true.
Jedi Academy, they did a lot of the stuff they did, I think they were trying to do something. Like, I will say I like the inclusion of the guns, even though a lot of the time the lightsaber is the obvious choice to get around them. But Castlevania Circle of the Moon is basically just stamping out another Castlevania game. They're not really trying anything. They're just... All right, here's another one.
Well,
I feel like this is just stamping out another Star Wars game. I mean, they've got all the stuff you want.
Because
they've got
it's so similar to Knights of the Old Republic or
Battlefront.
Well, I would
call Knights of the Old Republic the one that stands out.
I was actually going to say this is like the second Castlevania game that they've ever made in this style, and it's the first game they've made on the Game Boy Advance. So, like, it's fairly...
It feels the exact same, so...
To Symphony of the Night, right?
Yeah,
like that's the only other one.
Well, actually, it feels the same of all to the other ones to me.
I don't understand what games you're playing, Zach.
I don't.
This doesn't
like
make
two,
any sense.
I don't like these 2D platformers.
I think he thinks
the only one
as Super Mario Brothers.
The
exactly
only one I've
that.
Actually played that's actually any good is Cuphead, and that's because that thing's a boss rush primarily.
I think I would actually have to give it to Jedi Academy. I think it comes together a little bit better, if only because they try to integrate the Force powers into the
action sequences.
Yeah,
and
into
the
action
in
a little bit better.
That does create for some nice problem solving. I just thought the level design was better. So Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Academy will go at number 62, below Devil May Cry and above Castlevania Circle of the Moon.
Jeremy, I don't think any of us would ever try to argue that Jedi Academy's level design is a little terrible.
You said that wrong, but okay.
What?
Yeah, I can't even remember the sentence you just said. I got most of the important words in it.
You said no one would argue that its level design is terrible.
No, a little terrible.
It's okay.
It's a lot terrible.
Whatever.
Well, that's what he was saying. No one would try and argue that it's a little terrible.
All right, someone asked me what we're playing next week.
So we finally got that game off the docket. I'm excited for Jedi Academy 2, the better one.
Is there a Jedi Academy 2?
Yeah, it's pretty good. So what are we playing next week, Jeremy?
So speaking of games to get off the docket, I want to play some more Final Fantasies, but feel an odd compulsion to play some Dragon Quests first for comparison.
Oh, crap.
And we're on the second one of those bad boys. So next time and last time, let's play Dragon Quest II, this time with party members.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2018. All games, movies, and other media mentioned in this podcast are copyright their respective owners. If you wish to listen to more episodes, visit us at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can see the entire archive. If you wish to get in contact with us, you can email us at ltobg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. This episode is over. Try listening to another one?